I'm Timothy Nielsen, a CST Applied Epidemiology Fellow in Maternal and Child Health, and I have the privilege of working at the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. I'd like to speak with you, first presentation, there'll be another one coming up, about maternal mortality surveillance in Massachusetts, and particularly about the recent addition of a pregnancy status item on the Massachusetts death certificates. So we'll begin with some definitions. There are a number of classifications that can be used to describe deaths among pregnant women and new mothers, and it's important to distinguish between them. The most specific classification is maternal death, which is defined by the WHO as any death of a woman during or within 42 days of the end of pregnancy from any cause related to or aggravated by the pregnancy or its management. In 1986, ACOG and the CDC defined two new terms to address deaths that fell outside of this definition. Expanding the time period, pregnancy-related death refers to any death of a woman during or within 1 year of the end of pregnancy from any cause related to or aggravated by pregnancy. And more general still is the term pregnancy-associated death. It's defined as any death in this time period, so during pregnancy or within 1 year of the end of pregnancy, from any cause. Moving on to Massachusetts, compared to the United States as a whole, Massachusetts has consistently had lower maternal mortality ratios and pregnancy-related mortality ratios, as shown in the figure here. In Massachusetts, we choose to track all pregnancy-associated deaths. The number of deaths in the state is relatively small, and we feel we have the capacity to do so. But here we're presenting pregnancy-related ratio because there is no national pregnancy-associated ratio to compare it to. Now, in Massachusetts, as in many other states, the determination of whether a given death was pregnancy-related is made by a multidisciplinary committee. And in Massachusetts, ours is called the Massachusetts Maternal Mortality and Morbidity Review Committee, which is quite a mouthful. So I'm going to refer to it here as the 4MRC. And this committee is appointed by the Department of Public Health and has met regularly since 1997 to review all pregnancy-associated deaths in the Commonwealth. The committee's activities are authorized under Massachusetts state law, and we do have legal authority to request medical records for review. The committee works under a process where a primary reviewer reads each case file, including vital records, medical records, and public records if appropriate, and reviews them in depth and presents the committee as a whole to answer three fundamental questions. Was this death pregnancy-related? Was this death preventable? And what recommendations can we make for clinical practice, healthcare systems, and the public health in Massachusetts? So where do we find cases? Current data sources for case finding come from vital records data, either from codes off death certificates, and these are referred to as O codes related to pregnancy, come from mandatory facility reporting. Hospitals are required to report certain deaths to the department's healthcare safety and quality division. And also, occasionally, we find out about deaths through from informal sources. Occasionally, providers will contact someone they know at the department. And the committee really has benefited from this enhanced case finding. However, the current system has some limitations, particularly detecting cases where a woman died during pregnancy from a non-obstetric cause. For example, it's won't be possible to do record linkage in a case where neither a birth or fetal death certificate was issued, in the case where no delivery occurred or delivery occurred at less than 20 weeks, and thus is not a fetal death certificate is not required. So as you may know, the National Center for Health Statistics added a pregnancy status item to its 2003 revision of the standard death certificate. This is known as the pregnancy checkbox. And you can see the structure of the question here. For female decedents, the certifier is supposed to choose whether they were not pregnant within the past year, pregnant at the time of death, not pregnant but pregnant within 42 days of death, not pregnant but pregnant 43 to 1 year before death, or unknown if pregnant in the last year. And this new pregnancy status item has been implemented in a piecemeal fashion across the country. And in Massachusetts, we didn't add the checkbox to our death certificate until September 2014, along with the implementation of a new electronic death reporting system. Currently, this item is mandatory for all female decedents aged 5 to 75 years. But prior to the introduction of the checkbox, there was no explicit pregnancy item on Massachusetts death certificates. So we hypothesized that pregnancy checkbox has the potential to improve case finding, in particular identifying additional cases that occurred during pregnancy that we are not finding using vital records linkage. To this end, our evaluation addressed the following objectives: to determine whether the pregnancy checkbox identifies new potential cases, and whether these new cases differ significantly from those found via record linkage. In particular, is there a difference in the interval between pregnancy and death? Is there a difference in decedent characteristics? And were there a difference in certifier characteristics? So, in order to fulfill these objectives, a deterministic algorithm was used to link the first full year of female resident death certificates with the checkbox. So those are deaths occurring in calendar year 2015, with birth and fetal death records from 2014 and 2015. The two full years were used in order to allow for one full year prior to all births occurring in 2015. The record linkage, you had 8 steps, and we were linked on maternal names, first, middle, last, and maiden, maternal date of birth, and zip code. And then this calculated pregnancy status from the linkage was then compared to pregnancy status documented in the pregnancy checkbox. So moving on to our results. So our linkage linked 8,743 female Massachusetts resident decedents with 140,686 births and 697 fetal deaths. And through the linkage, we identified 27 unique mothers, of which 19 linked to a birth within 365 days prior to death. So while we found more than 19 mothers, in some cases they do not fall into the pregnancy-associated death case definition because of the interval was too long. So all of these death certificates, all 8,743, were assigned a checkbox value, because, as I mentioned, it is required for these decedents. And the checkbox identified 24 women as being pregnant within 1 year prior to death, and with half of those deaths occurring during pregnancy. We can see almost 1 in 4 death certificates were marked unknown, and while this status is appropriate in some cases when the certifier honestly doesn't know whether or not the decedent was pregnant, it may indicate that there are barriers to getting this pregnancy information, or perhaps low acceptance of this new item among certifiers. And the unknown status was particularly common when death certificates were certified by medical examiners as opposed to physicians and nurse practitioners, and there were certain facilities that had high unknown percentages, suggesting either potential procedures or informal methods that caused this large percentage of unknowns. So when we compare these two identification methods, we see there is very little overlap between cases identified by the checkbox and those identified via record linkage. So if we see here on the left side, the 2x2, this is the documented status, what was marked on the checkbox. And across the top, this was calculated via record linkage. And so we can see in this case, there were 19 cases that did not link that were marked as pregnant in the last year on the pregnancy checkbox. So our next step was to look at the characteristics of these different categories. First, we compared the interval between the end of pregnancy and the subsequent date of death across these three groups, cases identified by checkbox only, cases identified by linkage only, and cases identified by both. So we can see, again, there's a very clear difference here. We had the checkbox, it was much more likely to identify deaths that had occurred during pregnancy, and while the linkage was much more likely to identify cases occurring in this 43 to 364-day period, which makes sense and is consistent with our hypothesis. In cases where death occurred during pregnancy, linkage may not have been possible if the records weren't created, and certifiers are less likely to know about deaths that had occurred further in the past. In addition to the interval, we looked at a number of other characteristics, both the decedent and certifier characteristics, a sample of which are shown here, but there were no significant differences between groups, which, you know, given the small numbers we're talking about, is not very surprising. So I won't dwell too long on these. So in conclusion, the pregnancy checkbox identified 19 additional potential pregnancy-associated deaths in 2015, and currently we don't know how many of these additional cases are true positives, although investigation is ongoing. And the majority of cases identified only by the checkbox occurred during pregnancy, while all cases identified only by linkage occurred in this 43 to 365-day period. Public health significance. So these additional deaths could represent a significant increase in Massachusetts' estimated pregnancy-associated mortality ratio. And as I mentioned, we do not believe that all of these 19 are true cases. Based on information we've collected so far, maternal age at time of death, we do believe that we have some false positives, but we do know that some of these are true cases based on the medical records that we have so far. And based on that, we believe that the pregnancy checkbox does have the potential to enhance the efforts of the 4MRC. Given the lack of overlap between these two methods, these checkbox cases really do complement the cases that we're finding via record linkage. And this has the potential to enhance our understanding of deaths that occur during pregnancy. And these traditionally have been less reviewed, particularly, again, cases that occur, deaths that occur from non-obstetric cause. So next steps. As I mentioned, we are continuing to request and receive records for these cases, and we will plan on evaluating accuracy, positive predictive value, et cetera, for the checkbox once the committee has reviewed all 2015 cases. In addition to quantitative analysis, we are in the process of organizing focus groups with certifiers to discuss procedures and any barriers to documenting pregnancy status. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors at the department, as well as help from additional DPH staff, both sort of within my division and the great folks at the Registry of Vital Records and Statistics. Thank you very much.
We have time for questions.
Sure.
Was there any comparison to the cause of death section? So I'm just thinking about a possible case where a mother gave birth in another state and then came to Massachusetts and maybe had a cause of death that would be considered pregnancy related, like versus the checkbox that couldn't be linked. So is that what you're doing with the medical records, or also looking at the cause of death section?
Sure, that's a good question. It is certainly difficult to find cases where we have births out of state. In Massachusetts, in particular in the southern part of the state, and we have mothers who deliver in Rhode Island, as well as in the northern part of the state with Vermont, New Hampshire, there's some folks that cross over the border. For this analysis, we did limit just to Massachusetts residents delivering in Massachusetts. So that is certainly one reason why we may not have some of these linkages. We do try to talk across state lines when we can, but as I'm sure everyone knows, that can be difficult. We did compare based on cause of death, just using the cause of death literal codes on the death certificates. And again, there wasn't any significant difference between the two groups. But again, thankfully, the number of deaths are fairly small, so it's hard to know for sure if there's a difference. But thank you. Sure. And so, you know, as I had mentioned, in Massachusetts, you know, we've made the choice that we want to review all of these pregnancy-associated deaths. And so that's, you know, from any cause. And unfortunately, right now, a driver of death, of pregnancy-associated death in Massachusetts is from substance use and opioid overdose. If we were to restrict these to just sort of pregnancy-related, that would be a way to look back at the analysis. But the numbers are pretty small. It might be difficult until we have multiple years of data. But that's a good point. Looking at this sort of more by a specific cause might be helpful. Did I get at the question? Sure. Yeah, and it's not something that you know, we try to, you know, target different causes of death sort of separately. You know, in the past we've done some work with our perinatal quality collaborative around hemorrhage, for example, and right now we're working on white papers both on mental health and substance use. We've seen increases in the deaths that had associated substance use, not just opioids, but the majority are, as well as, you know, 50% of deaths that had some indication of a mental health diagnosis prior to death. So what we try to do is target sort of specific causes of death. And in this case, what we're really hoping to tell is whether or not this checkbox allows us to find more cases, to review more cases, and then be able to address sort of more of these specific topics.
Thank you very much. Thanks again.